Welcome back to Loud and Obnoxious, week 11-ish or something like that. And then I want to welcome all of our listeners back. We have a guest, our first righteous guest, because we will not fuck this up this time. We have Derek, who's a buddy of Phil's, who played football in college at ULL with some of prestigious Pro Bowl and future Hall of Famers. But before we introduce Derek Morrell, let's go ahead and see how everyone's doing. Pierce, how are we this evening?
I'm doing great, Skip. I'm actually touching Skip right now, which sounds kind of creepy, but it's not.
Yeah,
and I just mean that we're in the same place.
We are. So like we said last week, Pierce is officially a Coloradian for the vacancy sign was still open, and he came on in. So enough about us. How are things down south? Derek and Phil. Phil, how are you, Bubba?
Doing good. A little bummed about the Yankees, but otherwise doing great.
There you go. Well, Phil, I'll let you do the honors. Introduce your buddy Derek.
Derek and I aren't quite touching, but we are awfully close because we got to share a microphone.
Well, I just reached out and touched him. I'm not like touching him currently. That was like a three second thing.
But yeah, Derek, welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me. I'm very good. Last month, it felt like the entire state of Louisiana was on football sabbatical, but we've come roaring back.
Yes, sir.
Haven't they, man?
Hey, and I believe that the Angry Green Wave would resent that, Derek. They've been kind of on a little heater streak of late. Went in a couple games covering lines. So not every team, you know, has been on a sabbatical. Tulane's been holding the fort down.
Tulane. I guess, but they're still pretty shitty.
That's true. Well, Phil, introduce Derek a little bit more. Derek, introduce yourself, because Phil's shit with words. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Tell us, we appreciate you joining us, obviously, but give us a little bit of a rundown about you.
Sure thing. I played at ULL, which is really, we call it UL. All right, give us that respect here.
Louisiana Lafayette.
And technically, the Louisiana Raging Cajuns, so you can call us Louisiana. You'll see it on TV now. So we proudly rep that. Played there from 02 to 06, and it was a wild ride. It was a walk-on, and spent the first year as actually a wide receiver. And by the time I left, I had morphed into a corner, then a safety, then a linebacker. So I was doing whatever I could do to get on the field. I was fortunate enough after my first year to sign a scholarship there, but prior to that, just showed up as a walk-on. And
that's a classic Gruden Grinders right there.
It is.
Classic Gruden Grinders.
It is. It's a wild ride. You're constantly having to prove yourself as a walk-on. And I've got some interesting stories. And
did they make you do some crazy shit?
We'll get into that. We won't make them do that. You don't have to testify right now. We'll get balls deep into your experiences at school. But we were just wanting to, you know, let everyone know who we have with us this week. So thank you again, Derek, for coming and joining us on the episode. He'll be joining us all night. He'll join us for the fun segments like quick hits, picking on Phil, and we'll just do some rundowns of last week's games, like he kind of touched on with the whole state of Louisiana doing football. Doing it well. So we'll talk about all of it, but we appreciate it again.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Well, all right. Let's get this show on the road. First things first, Phil.
Yes.
Yankees.
It's a bummer. And
let's talk about the fact that you told our listeners last week you'd be there.
Yeah. Well, I've got a bunch of fucking flaky friends that said they were going to come. I'll go with you. And then, you know, time comes to, like, purchase tickets or make plans to go. And they're like, oh, well, I can't go. And I'm a pussy, and I didn't want to go by myself.
I would have. I could have. My boy Tony was there. He's an Astros fan. Y'all could have, man, y'all would have been like fucking oil and water. It would have been great to see sitting next to each other for that game. Holy fuck. Anyway, Phil, Yanks are out. Sorry, but my team, the Astros that I picked, still has a chance to win it all.
I picked them as well.
Your team? You can't claim them as your team. You picked them.
It's the team I picked, Phil. That's what I just said. Listen to English. Come on.
No, you said team, and then said the team.
My team that I picked. It's called a sentence, Phil.
Well, you talk too slow. You fucking
words
start.
Come after words, and then you punctuate them at the end.
Oh, well, that's exactly what I wanted out of this opening segment tonight. Not only did we're not going to call you the anchor anymore. I think you're the kiss of death. You may be the anchor because it's unfathomable how, since you wrote your first and only article denouncing your two true fandoms, and then once you...
That was not denouncement. That was just saying...
Accepting the fate of losing, and I mean, giving up. That's, I mean, you didn't cancel, but you're close to canceled the whole season. And so I loved it. I couldn't get enough of it. And then since you jumped on, oh, now the Yankees have a chance, since you picked them to lose the first series, they win. Then you think, well, they may still lose. Then they win. It just, you are now, I think, the anchor and the opposite kiss of death. So I can't get enough of it. It's hilarious, but at the same time.
But I'm happy to have, you know, I'm happy to have that shit thrown in my face, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. It's one of those happiness hedges. You've done one for life, it seems.
Yeah. I've got it down pat.
So what if for a second we can just, like, get into a crazy alternate reality where the New Orleans Saints hate Phil Gray because of his article that he wrote, and they've got it up in every locker in the locker room, like, oh, who does Phil Gray motherfucker think he is? Yeah, fuck him. That's what they're all saying, Phil. The Saints don't even like you, but you might motivate them to win a Super Bowl. So the city of New Orleans might love you.
I sure hope so.
Wouldn't that be cool?
I have season tickets, and I won't be able to go to the game this weekend again, so I think they'll probably be pretty happy about that.
Jesus, yeah. Man! What kind of fan are you? Well, I guess if you're not there, they have a better chance of winning, it seems. That may be the case.
No, yeah, I am the bad luck guy, no doubt.
That's a joke. You're the new BLG, the bad luck guy.
So,
God, man. You have a powerful, powerful...
Saints fans can thank me. Saints can thank me for not being at the game this weekend.
The Yankees thought you were going to be at the game this past weekend, it seems, and they shit the bed both Saturday or Friday and Saturday. The Friday I wasn't as surprised about because Verlander's fucking filthy. But game 7, I mean, I know it was by committee and things of that nature, but, I mean, y'all got walloped.
Yeah.
So I guess we won't touch on it.
You know, I mean, it's got to be tough to go on the road game 7 and, you know, there's the – like. Biggest game of their life.
I agree. I'm with you on that.
And the whole series was won by home team. So, the whole series was won by home team. So there's nothing crazy to say that much about it.
3-1 Dodgers.
3-1 Dodgers?
Justin Turner went.
We're
streaming. We're right behind you. So.
I love that I ruined this podcast. Actually,
Turner's a goddamn beast.
This is what I did for trusting Phil's internet over here.
Dude, we're going to be lucky if this episode records. So just hold on tight over there.
Hey, and it's not nearly as bad as when Phil and I lived together. We stole the internet from the neighbors. Shout out to the neighbors.
That wasn't my idea, though. That was one of your boys' idea that I lived with previously.
Well, I don't know what the statute of limitations is, so we won't give a shout out to my boy Gene. Love it. Love him dearly. Holla at your boy. Hail State. But let's get into it. So we talked a little baseball. We gave Phil a piece of our minds, and we let him know that reaffirmed the anchor / bad luck guy. New BLG of the week.
Whoop, whoop,
whoop, whoop. So, Phil, do you want to start with football? Because I feel it's your turn to gloat after that.
Yeah.
Let's start with college football.
Oh, look, Justin Turner hit a home run.
Holy shit. Y'all are a solid minute and a half behind.
That was fantastic, Derek. I appreciate that. That was great.
Hey, at least y'all saw it. We're just game casting.
Yeah, we're trying to work here. Focusing on the task at hand. Let's talk about football, and let's talk about the game of the weekend for at least this podcast.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about it. Phil, congratulations,
yeah,
Phil.
Yeah, thanks.
You didn't really accomplish much.
The only reason to really gloat at all is just to rub it into Pierce. It's not like beating Ole Miss is a big fucking deal because
yeah, it's not. It's totally not. It's not a big deal. Well, you're not going to get under my skin this year.
Not gonna gloat.
Huh?
There's nothing to brag about. It's just that I get a little present from Pierce. And
you do.
I don't have to send a fucking present this time.
Yeah. I mean, now you can annoy me about being slow instead of being annoyed about being slow. Shoes on the other foot, Phil. Wear it.
You know what the worst part about it is? Pierce may be doing this again in about a month.
Look, I don't...
At least it won't have to be done by mail.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he'll be able to hand-deliver that shit.
But that's the thing. Like, I knew we weren't going to beat LSU. I've said all year we're not going to beat Mississippi State. I'll give y'all something if y'all really want something.
We had to have thought that after we lost to Troy that there was a chance y'all could beat us.
Yeah.
I still thought there was a chance because y'all had won two straight that y'all may be a little high. I mean, I didn't think Ole Miss's offense was going to be inept, but I believe how, you know, Pierce kind of touched on it with his rant on the internet that the Shea Patterson thing going down and then trying to play injured.
That was stupid. That was stupid. Yeah. I like
quarterback's from Louisiana, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I understand that he's not going to get hurt any worse, but you say that, and what if he ends up tearing everything in his knee when he goes back out there?
The old Teddy Bridgewater is what we call that.
Yeah, so I don't know, man.
Nubbin foot.
I questioned a lot of those decisions because Te'amu came in and moved the ball. I didn't rant. I just told the truth. What's going on? Hey, I had a little fun with it. I got a lot of Hawaiian followers after these Te'amu for Heisman tweets.
Did you? So shout out to our listeners in Hawaii.
Yeah. Out there in, I think it's called like Pearl City or some shit.
No, that's just Pearl, Mississippi. Redneck capital of the state. Shout out to our trailer park friends that are using somebody else's Wi-Fi as well.
They probably don't even have Wi-Fi.
Well, I'm not going to just...
They definitely don't have flat screen TVs, probably.
Fuck yeah, they definitely do. They just
They stole them?
No, Walmart has $300 televisions. Holler at your boy. Keep watching those games. Don't be shy. Don't listen to us. I'm fucking broadcasting from a cell.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
We're just ripping on the city of Pearl. But let's continue on. So, yeah, Phil, you cleaned up. I mean, and I think it was mainly the same story as last year. Pierce's defense or Ole Miss's defense was an F. It wasn't matter if Shea was there or not. It seemed like they couldn't stop. It was very porous secondary and running game was annihilating.
It's really it's not really the secondary.
Those holes for guys were just gaping.
Yeah, I mean, this was the same for Fournette last year.
You know what they
year.
Remind me of, Phil?
What's that?
Your big saggy pussy. I'll be here all week.
The 7:30 show is completely different.
500 combined rushing yards from two guys.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Exactly. They didn't even have 200 yards passing, I don't think. They had almost 500 rushing.
Yeah.
That's a Trubisky style W right there. That's well played.
It's all you need against us, man. I don't know how Ralph Webb from Vandy didn't tear us up last week. I don't know how we stopped him.
Hey, we lost Phil, but we're going to keep recording for a second. It says that his VoIP connection did not continue, so I'm going to continue on because this podcast is supposed to go for more than 15 minutes. Other games that happened this weekend, ones that Phil doesn't even believe in either of the teams, so his opinion is kind of moot in this opportunity, is the USC-Notre Dame game. We continue to make fun of Notre Dame, and I think we always have kind of been right on the USC Pac-12 train. But Pierce, I mean, shit. Notre Dame may be really good.
That's what people are saying all of a sudden. They're like,
they're only
Notre losses Dame,
to a number three team and from Georgia.
Yeah, and they're saying if Notre Dame wins out, then they're going to, you know, they're going to go. And that, I don't know, man. I haven't watched them at all, so I don't have much of an opinion on them.
Man, so I've now watched two of their games. I watched the game this weekend, and then I also watched the Georgia game in Telluride. And that game, they lost by one, but at the same time, I don't even know if that was Jake Fromm. That may have been old boy playing quarterback for Georgia. So that was before he got injured.
Yeah, it might have been. I'm not
Jacob
sure.
Jacob Easley. So, and it looks like Fromm is even better than Jacob. So let's say that that's the case. And so they really came to form afterwards and they didn't really beat Notre Dame with their best team. Notre Dame still gets to hang their hat on their only losses to a number three team.
Yeah, Georgia's just getting better every week, too. I feel like they're improving. Fromm's obviously improving, and he's going to be a – he's like, I feel bad for Eason in a way because he was so hyped. Eason. But at the same time, like, you get hurt, you lose your job. I think Fromm's better anyway.
Yeah, it seems that that is definitely the case, and I hate that it came down to an injury with Eason and things of that nature. And what I really hate is the fact that we found the better quarterback when he was hitting the beginning of his stride. So that sucks as a State fan, knowing that possibly the actual starter was covering up the Tom Brady, you know, classic Bledsoe Brady or something of that nature, even whomever was in front of him at Michigan. But, yeah, something like that, that sucks. But, yeah, Georgia seems to be good. And to be honest, Notre Dame looks to be legit as fuck.
They must be. But you got to think, I think Eason's gone. Like, he's not going to stick around after this year because they got Justin Fields coming in. He's a five-star, going to be a freshman next year. Fromm's just now a freshman. So I just don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, I agree. What's it called? He does. And I kind of feel the same thing as you. Like, why would you not transfer? And I think he's going to be one of a couple different ones that transfer. But at the same time, I also think that Sam Darnold may not be leaving while we're sitting here harping about Notre Dame and USC. Sam Darnold just got put in his place.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know. Darnold, yeah, I think Notre Dame probably wins big this weekend. USC just hasn't been as impressive as they should be or what people thought they were going to be.
Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, we've spoken all season, and we can talk about the rest of the Pac-12 if you want to because Phil's internet still fucking sucks.
Yeah, I can hear him talking now.
Come on, Phil, get back in.
I hear him in my headphones. That's why I had to take him off for a second. But, yeah, the rest of the Pac-12, man, like, I just honestly think they're all going to continue to beat up on each other. USC will get their second loss this week. Is Washington still undefeated?
No, Washington lost to Arizona State at, like, 1 a.m. when everybody was drunk two weeks ago.
Okay, so yeah, I totally missed that.
They lost, like, 13-6, like, so it wasn't pretty.
Like I said a couple weeks ago, the Pac-12 just going to cannibalize itself. I think the same thing happens to the Big 12. We're going to find out everything in the Big Ten this weekend with Ohio State and Penn State playing each other. Or pretty much everything. We'll find out a good bit. And then SEC, ACC. ACC is obviously still Clemson, but then Roll Tide.
I mean, so we can't just – we got to stop, like, pretending like Miami's not legit. They have a coach. They don't win sexy, but what they do off the field is sexy as fuck. They're walking around with the big old janky chain.
I love the chain. I love the fucking chain. God damn, the chain is good. And, of course, Alabama started that with the belt, and now everybody's got their own version, but Miami definitely has the most appropriate and most fucking gangster thing that you could possibly come up with as a reward for being a badass. I love it. I want one of those chains. Like, okay, along those same lines, though, you know what Georgia has? Have you seen what Georgia's handing out to people?
What is that?
It's a pair of fucking Spike shoulder pads. Gold and black Spike shoulder pads.
Shout out to our friends in the Spike Squad.
Hey, Spike Squad, y'all infiltrated the team. Congratulations. Maybe y'all are still fucking losers. But still.
Hey, yeah, I do agree that they're fucking losers, and if they want to come on here and debate it, we can definitely discuss their football
team. And they wouldn't even take your bet.
I mean, they could have had free pizza. Who doesn't like free pizza? The Ninja Turtles would be disappointed.
That was one of their slides. Sometimes we get pizza.
I was trying to help you out, brothers, but oh well, oh well. But I'll touch on my dogs for those that are faithful state, our friends or family members. Dogs crushed the hell out of Kentucky. The defense continues to look legit. I'm not going to lie. I don't know how great of our chances are. I know the lines moved fluidly through the first day and a half of the state Texas A&M line. But if our defense plays like it did this weekend against a team that is very possible to throw the ball, then I like our chances to win because we seem to show up. And obviously Texas A&M is a little bit more potent than Kentucky. I mean, we've been ripping on someone all year, and I hope it doesn't fucking bite me in my ass here.
This is when Sumlin normally falls apart, though. Isn't it November when they just totally fucking collapse? Like, this could be the beginning of it. Y'all could be the beginning of his fucking losing skid that sends his fucking ass out the door a couple months later than I said initially. But this could be the start of it. Who knows?
I mean, that's definitely the fucking case. Like, and you know, at the same time, Dan Mullen said it today that they're 10 seconds away, and like maybe that one intercepted pass that was ended up being a touchdown for UCLA. Like, they're one pass or two away from being 5 or 6-1 and another top 10 team in the SEC. Yeah. It's just an easy steamroll against UCLA. So I think someone's kept his job safe. And for some reason, I feel that Phil is talking, but we just can't hear it. Is there any way we can put it on speaker from wherever you're on your computer? We'll continue on. So I think, you know, we touched on State. We touched on Ole Miss and LSU. We also touched on, I guess, the biggest game of the weekend. We can definitely need to talk about your boys, Penn State.
Yeah, it's a big game for them. This is the game.
Yeah, I mean, they not only – so they beat the brakes off of Michigan last week, and then you're going on the road.
And they're a fucking underdog.
They're an underdog against Ohio State this week. They were getting 7 points when I pulled the lines up yesterday. I sent you and Phil a text.
Yeah, it's Phil no goes, respect. Wow.
And I agree. I mean,
no respect wow. whatsoever. Like, I just, seven is just an insane number to me. I would have been, if you'd have told me 3, like the natural line for a home team, yeah, I'd have been cool with that. But 7? You're telling me Ohio State is a touchdown better team than Penn State? What games have they been watching? I'm blown away.
So I know JT Barrett and Ohio State hadn't played shit for anybody since Oklahoma. Oh, I say that very loosely, but for the most part, they've beaten the brakes off of either interconference trash. Or out-of-conference teams. Yeah, garbage squads.
Bunch of trash.
Not teams that are really contestable. Obviously, Michigan without Wilton Spates is not as, you know, sexy of a W for Penn State at home, but at the same time, you have to think that I mean, they're rolling. They're steamrolling. Yeah. They're winning games by 40 points. You can't be that disappointed. Or not that disappointed, excuse me. You can't be that surprised that Ohio State is favored at least 4 or 5 points because you get 3 points for being at home.
Yeah, I get that. But it's man, what's Penn State ranked and what's Ohio State ranked? Penn State's 2. Is Ohio State still in the top 20? I'm sure they are. They probably climbed back in by this point. It seems like a lot of points. And that's going to be one of those games that everybody's like, oh, God, it's a trap. They want you to take Penn State. They're begging you to take Penn State. And Ohio State ends up winning by, like, 2 touchdowns. It's just going to be some crazy shit's going to happen in that game. I don't know what.
And I agree. I think for some reason I feel JT Barrett wins this game. And then Ohio State, like, loses a game they shouldn't. Well, either to Michigan State or Michigan. And then you have a 3-way tie in the West again.
Yeah, so this is the whole thing. Like, we're talking about with the Pac-12 and the Big 12, where everybody just beats each other. This could be the start of that for the Big 10. Because if Penn State loses this game, I mean, that's only one. But they could trip up again in a conference title game. What if every conference what if there's 2 losses from all these conferences? And there's only, like, Alabama and Georgia sitting there with 1 loss apiece. And it was 2. You know, Georgia lost to fucking Alabama. Well, I guess Bama wouldn't have a loss. But, you know, what if? Like, this could get crazy if everybody starts going down. And this is about the time it starts happening.
Yeah, and I agree. Not everyone is going to go undefeated.
No.
I think someone wrote that article for Fox Sports today.
That a bunch of teams would go undefeated?
No, just the hypothetical of to, like, the shitstorm that ensues. Yeah. If, like, teams like Notre Dame goes 1 loss, you know, there's a way for it to happen in the Big 12. There's a way for it to happen in the Big 10. Because Wisconsin is going to be uncontested in the what they call the Big 10 West, which is just like Wisconsin, Iowa, fucking Northwestern, blah, 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 blah.
God, all so the while,
Penn State, Michigan State, side. Ohio State are all in the East. So it's silly, but at the same time,
set that up.
The same losers that did divisions and they did leaders and legends in the Big Ten. That guy needs to lose their fucking job. Guy was a fucking douchebag virgin.
Are the teams still in the same place? They just changed.
I think
the
so.
Name
yeah, they just changed the names.
West.
But at the same time,
so it was always like that. But who sets that up like that?
I know. Like, why do you? If you're going to do it geographically, and then know that you're also bringing in teams like Maryland and fucking Rutgers.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're gonna. I mean. You just got to make this a little smarter for yourself. Like, if you're going to do legends and leaders, then don't put Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, all in the and Ohio State all in the same fucking division, and then just put Wisconsin over there by themselves with their dick in their hand.
Just walk through it so you and show up to the championship and game and get skunked 52-3
again by fucking Ohio State. So something like that's going to happen.
And the Big Ten's just stupid, man. I hate that they're good again.
I know, and they're really good. Because I believe that, like, if this was an 8-man tournament, like Kip has been a staunch fan of since the beginning, if they had this as an 8-man tournament, first round of games, top four seeds hosted the bottom four seeds.
Yeah.
And then you went into the New Year's Six bowls, and then you had the other bowls as your championship. I think you could still have everyone could be appeased and the university make a little bit more money off these kids.
It's got to go to 8. 4 is not enough.
Yeah,
it's
bring in the American enough. Conference winner. Like, no, give fucking Charlie, give Charlie Strong a chance.
I guess maybe like one spot could. Yeah, I don't know though.
You get your top three wild cards. But then you look at it's done by human advantage. So you give 5 power conferences, make it the 6th. And then just give them the 1 and then put 2 wild cards.
Their team will get annihilated. They'll be the 8 seed and they'll play
in
number.
But they'll get more recruits by being able to be in this tournament. Welcome back, Phil.
If they get more recruits.
Phil's back, y'all. Phil, we're talking about expanding the NCAA tournament of football to 8 teams rather than just having 4 because of the hypothetical that every one lost team. But since that you're back, we're going to migrate into the NFL. How does that sound for you guys? Welcome back.
Sounds great. Sorry for the technical difficulties.
For what it's
worth. Oh, it's a nice surprise, Phil.
Yeah, I'm about as surprised as if like I fucking accidentally like walked into traffic tomorrow.
Nice one.
Yeah, and that could happen.
Yeah,
people are out here driving.
I hope it does happen. What's it called? Yeah,
it's all been a bigger ploy because, against his internet. Because as his luck would have it, played against each other in fantasy football this weekend, and total domination was had by my team.
Phil!
I tried earlier that week to trade him Russell Wilson for one of his running backs, like Lamar Miller. He said no. He was going to stick with Cam Newton. So Cam Newton went outrageous and scored 9 while Russell had 40. So
Phil, Phil,
classic Phil anchor.
Yeah, man. So you're the reason that Cam Newton played so shitty for me this week.
Yes,
I should have known Phil was involved somehow. Oh my god,
that's what I was thinking. I was like, well, I need to fuck Pierce over.
Yeah, I know you were. Thanks a lot, bub.
You're welcome.
You fucking anchor. You don't even have to know. You can just anchor without even knowing. It's fucking incredible. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, yeah, if he did it consciously, then it would be a reverse anchor on himself.
He tried to do that.
He has to do it like subsequently.
I consciously anchored your bulldog.
That's true. I forgot that you are just a mega raging cunt. While you were away, I called you a gaping vagina. I don't know if you were here for that.
I don't know. He might have been here for that. I could hear Phil every once in a while be like, fuck! Fuck! What is going on? I don't understand what's going on. I could hear you.
Well, now that you're back, Phil, I want to get your take on a couple things.
What's that?
Saints are pretty good ever since you fucked them over with your letter of hatred that they have pinned on their wall. You even claimed that the Falcons were going to catch all the breaks this year, and it seems that y'all have kind of been able to hit things in stride.
The Falcons were catching all the breaks initially, and now they just suck. Well, I'm not, I'm going to refrain from commenting on that because I don't want to. Reverse anchor, double reverse anchor, whatever the fuck anchor.
The triple anchor would be an intense play this middle of the season. I'd save that for later.
Yeah. No comment on the Falcons. The Saints are looking good. Let's hope they can keep it up. No guarantees, though.
Actually, I like how he bought into it. He's like, all right, no comment on the Falcons.
Yeah,
I don't want to use it yet.
So I told everyone to go look at Phil's picks because I was trying to get our fucking clout up, and I was hoping to do such by proclaiming that Phil had these like fantastic picks and it was 70%.
Did I go 1-5 this weekend?
Y'all are gonna, but you and Pierce are both gonna pick 9 because neither of y'all picked picks last week. So, or in the last 2 weeks, y'all have both missed a week. So we are going to have y'all do an extra week this week. Just for irresponsibility, So then you're going to have to kind of really dig deep into your pick'em, pal, which means you're going to actually have to look at them for more than 5 minutes, Phil. So don't worry about it, but we'll cross that bridge on the website. We'll debrief all that in an article. Let's talk some NFL.
Let's do it.
Cowboys are not as bad as we thought. Defense kind of showed up against a shitty team. Yeah. But Zeke may not be suspended after all.
Yeah, you think the Eagles are really good, beat though. The 0-7 49ers?
No, because we got the Redskins this week, and Zeke is still playing for another week, so I have hope restored.
Amazing that you still have him playing, by the way. But I can tell you, I'll say this. I've never been a Cowboys fan. I think ESPN has them overrated to the max. But here's one thing that you got going for you. Once you have the Cowboys with a lead, man, they can really pin their ears back and rush the quarterback. I was impressed to see them get after a quarterback. And the next thing is getting Sean Lee back. People don't understand how vital he is to success because he keeps getting hurt. And if he would just kind of calm that down, oh, my gosh, that man could play some football.
Yeah, I mean, your secondary doesn't have to cover long if you get after the quarterback.
At the same time, he's not ever healthy for that long. Like, it's always something. It's like a groin. It's a concussion. It's a hammy. It's an ankle. I mean, it's always fucking something. So I can't really rely on my defense in any facet. But if we score 48 points, I'm going to be hoping to Christ we can. That should be enough to win.
Should for it? Sure, man. I can tell you, I've been told, people have told me this before, playing linebacker, even in college, at the end of the game, it's the equivalent of 5 car accidents. And let me just tell you, if that's the case for college, I can only imagine how severe it is for pro. Some guys hold up, and some guys don't. It's a sad story you see with, like, Luke Kuechly, who's as good an inside linebacker as they'll ever be in this game. Yet, he's sensitive to concussions. So he plays like a wild man, and he gets smoked. And
he cries like a baby getting carried off the field. That's nothing to be made fun of, though.
But the same thing with
Phil on the internet.
Phil, jeez, man. This guy's got, like, real issues. He's got CTE, no doubt, and you're just fucking running him through the mud.
Fucking Panther, all right? Sorry, I got to
No, Phil, I love this feistiness. I love this side of you. You're Look throwing you. Punches. You're ripping on motherfuckers.
Is this what happens when Phil gets a little, like, momentum behind him, wins 3 games in a row in the pros, wins 3 games in a row in college, sticks his dick in Pierce's mouth in a bed? Yes, I mean, he's just...
His MO is he's going to preemptively strike with the negativity. Don't worry that his team may fail, that he fails them in his head first. And then, on the reversal, when they start balling, he's going to sing their praises and you're going to feel every bit of it.
That's spot fucking on. That's like, that's to a T.
Oh, yeah. When the Saints are in the playoffs.
That's not a bad play, Phil. I like that play. That's smart play.
Phil be at that playoff.
It's got a nice little safety net you've got underneath you while you're doing trapeze work up there, cheering on the Saints.
No, I mean, all is right in the world, especially in the city of New Orleans, when the Saints are fucking winning. I mean, it's just a different town. You can tell the when the Saints are winning and when they're not just by the mood and of people.
Watching the city be demoralized while I was there was one of my favorite pastimes. The rusty nail on Saturdays watching LSU lose to Bama was a fantastic time. So same was with, you know, New Orleans losing home games. It was a good time. But let me ask you about this weekend. You think the Saints, can they take care of Trubisky? Yeah, I threw bitch in the middle of there. Did anybody catch that?
Trubisky.
On fire tonight, Skip.
I've had a couple.
Here's my thing with the Saints. You know, I'm just no matter how good or bad they are in any given season, I've just got it ingrained in me, you know, of the Aints. I've just grew up on the Aints, so I've always seen us lose, you know, in inexplicable ways to teams that we should never lose to. So I've always got doubt, you know, I've always got doubt. But we should be able to, we should absolutely be able to take care of the Bears soundly. Although we are 9-point favorites, which is, that's a little much.
Yeah, that's a little overzealous. I think your defense is going to kind of, it's like Cinderella at midnight. I think eventually it's going to be kind of awoken, or everyone's going to kind of come to. And you'll be back to a mediocre defense, but at the same time, they're performing well.
This is Lattimore, Marshawn Lattimore. He's the real fucking deal.
Is he? I mean, yeah.
They're very close to letting him guard the best receiver and leaving him alone even without safety help. They are very close to just rolling over everybody in a brig, being aggressive on the other side because he's that dynamic.
And that's why Cam Jordan, or the defensive end, is rated number one defensive end in the league right now.
Nice, nice. Well, I'm glad to see your success. It makes the podcast better because at least you contribute without trying to kill yourself. But we'll migrate to somebody that may want to be jumping off some buildings soon. Pierce, you took a rough loss on Monday Night Football, another divisional loss to the Eagles.
Well, the Eagles are the best team in the league.
Have mercy, they are good.
They're good, man. I just
fly, for real.
Eagles fly on the road to victory. EATLES, Eagles.
Yeah, they seem to be. Carson Wentz, like,
he just disappeared.
Down seven, they had a chance to sack him, like, around the 40 or something like that. And he just inexplicably just runs out of it. Like, I don't know how that happens. The Skins get the ball back there, got a chance to tie the game. And
throws the deep ball for a touch. I mean, he was down seven, and then in a matter of 4 minutes was up seven before half. Like, it's scary. And I can agree with him in that sense that – I know I ripped on them 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to have to eat crow again this week, but it was more hatred more so than calling them truly sucky. But, Wentz looks good. The running game it can be filled by anybody, it seems, from Smallwood to Blunt. And then the wide receiving core and tight end, they seem to be at least not inept like they were last year.
The receivers are sick. They got Torrey Smith now and that Aguilar dude from –
Well, Nelson Aguilar was there last year.
He got benched last year.
Yeah, he was looking like a bust.
He turned into a badass now.
Yeah.
Alshon Jeffery. There.
And then, of course, Ertz doing Ertz things.
Alshon's good.
But their best receiver is Zach Ertz, the tight end.
All right.
They do a lot. Yeah, so that offense is potent. And, like, I jumped on Hash It Out Sports or Hash It Out Podcast. Go listen to it. Subscribe, rate, review. Jumped on that and was ripping on the Eagles, and then even BVD said the front seven is strong. You know, like the defense, I think, you know, it's led by Fletcher Cox, Hail State. But at the same time, that front seven gives up the least amount of yards rushing a game all season. So, like, every week it's filthy. So not just their offense, but their defense. So even as a Cowboys with a potent offense, I'm worried about both facets of that team.
Shit. Kirk still put up 24 last night. No big deal.
A garbage touchdown. For sure.
Yeah, well. Did we just lose? Yeah, it's not the skin season. I never thought it was, but they kind of got us excited the last couple weeks. And
it looks like Kirk Cousins, we're not fucking Wizards, we don't know shit. Kirk's going to have to leave because I don't think him going 8-8 or 9-7 is worth the $25 million he's going to want. But at the same time, what's Washington do? Go draft somebody and just pay him $4 million a year?
Yeah, who cares? Like, you're just going to keep going 9-7? Maybe we could.
You can't do that.
We were actually talking about if the Saints should go after Kirk Cousins because this is the last year of Breeze's deal. I mean, I obviously think we should re-sign him, but you know, we know how stupid Loomis is, and they might just let him walk. I think Cousins would be a perfect fit to just slip right back into our offense.
I'm not going to lie. That's not a bad fit, but I don't know do the contracts line up? Like, is your free agency availability there? Like you said, I do believe Loomis is an idiot, but I saw someone the other day claiming him to be, like, knocking it out of the park with this year's class. So some of your production may be younger.
In the last two classes, he really has. He had about a 5-year lull, but in the last two, he's been
I think it's more his free agency signings that people give him criticism for, not necessarily his drafts. So, yeah, but at the same time.
And Sean Payton's got some onus on that, too. You don't think he's not somebody who has got his hand in it on everything.
How long is he going to be there?
He will be there until Tom Benson is alive. Which is apparently forever.
I disagree. I don't think he's got that long of a shelf life. They may have a nice relationship because he won them a Super Bowl. But I think that, I mean, he was on the hot seat last year. He was having to answer questions about it. So to say that
he wasn't on the hot seat.
A lot of that's media spurred. Like, people saying, the narrative. He's been here a long time, and maybe it's time for him to go. If anything, it would be Sean Payton pursuing another interest. There's no way
he's not getting
that
fired.
He's going anywhere.
Do you ever see someone translate like that? Do folks ever actually jump ship from what – I mean, minus Belichick. I don't know, an 8-8 coach that would be jumping ship to go somewhere else. Who would be calling him?
I could see him.
The Cowboys were.
Well, that was big, too. But even going back to college, I mean, you've seen numerous pro coaches come back into the college ranks, and they're better coaches.
I agree. That's true. Was Sean Payton a college coach?
No, I don't think he is. But I'm just saying, if you think about some wild theories, like maybe him to USC instead of Helton, and all of a sudden – he's got a Sam Darnold, and he could put him in positions and understands schemes and just how to work a game. Maybe there's something there. I don't know. I still would think until the day that Tom Benson kicks the bucket, Sean Payton will be there because
– and Loomis.
And that's it. Loomis is also in charge of operations for the basketball
team. Yeah, I know. I remember when that happened. I was like, that's not smart.
Well, Ben's 90 something years old. He can barely think for himself, and his wife is running the show. And
I thought his kids were suing each other over it. But I mean, I digress. Who cares?
Well, that's settled. They're out the picture.
When that happens, we'll talk about it. But until then, let's get into the nitty gritty of football. The Redskins and the Cowboys played this weekend. We haven't done any professional care packages. I don't know if Pierce wants to after having to lick his wounds from the last one, but Cowboys are coming to the Skins. We're coming into the house. We're coming to take our scalps.
Go Skins.
You might get them, you know? But, man, we'll figure something out.
What are Redskins fans feel about Kirk Cousins?
At this point, everybody's sick of Kirk. It's like, hey, Kirk, go to fucking San Francisco. Get the fuck out of here. You don't deserve $25 million. You're not worth it.
He's just what's your alternative?
Oh, yeah, who's going to come? Who's going to – Colt McCoy? That's your boy, huh?
Well, no.
Someone.
I'm not saying that. Yeah, I mean, Colin Kaepernick's out there. Everybody already hates the Skins. Why not bring in Kaepernick?
I think
hell yeah, Kaepernick talk. I love it. Y'all know this is one of my favorite segments.
I mean, why not, dude? I just – Kirk's gone. He's going to San Francisco. That's where he wants to be. They've got like fucking Brian Hoyer as their quarterback. I don't think he's gonna let. Oh, CJ Beathard's playing now. Oh yeah, so the Cowboys beat CJ Beathard from Iowa. It's real impressive. Yeah, we might have to make a bet about this week. Skins will probably bounce back.
Well, you know what,
Fat Rob
Kaepernick's such an activist, and you know, man, you know, whatever he stands for, he no way he could go play for the Redskins.
He might not even come. I didn't think about that. Well, if the Skins offered him $10 million, you think he'd be like, well, that name is offensive to me. I'm not going to go.
No.
Bullshit.
Come on. No way.
He should.
Bullshit, Phil.
That's not the hill he's trying to die on.
Yeah, he's trying to die on the disrespect of black people hill.
Like the social injustices by police officers and the physical threat upon them.
That's his hill. It's not Redskins.
Nobody except for South Park wants to get in on that one. And Dan Snyder's a real piece of shit, and you're not going to change his mind, so who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
You know, so
Dan is a piece of shit.
We're going for some scalps this weekend. On behalf of America, Ezekiel Elliott is going to go beat up some folks and get those scalps.
Scalping. Zeke's going to be scalping.
See what I did there? Thank you very much. I'm here all night. But yeah, that's not the only game that's going this weekend. And at the same time, it wasn't the only game that was going last weekend. Cowboys did demolish the Niners. But there's a couple teams that didn't show up.
Oh, the Falcons?
Oh, the Falcons. We were going to talk about the Falcons. Patriots look to be atop the ESPN power rankings again this week, with the Eagles at number 2. And
can we refrain from looking at ESPN power rankings? Like, they just pull that up their ass, and it's a dick-sucking contest. Like, that's just whoever they fucking feel like
Phil, you blow dudes in the alley, so your value of whose dick is getting sucked is not one that needs to be touched on. I'm just talking about the teams that are worthy of mentioning. And so ESPN seems to be one of those companies that dictates what is talked about in the world of sports. So I can use them as a spectrum or a measuring stick whenever I please. Again, the Patriots are ranked above the Kansas City Chiefs, which is where I was trying to go. That's kind
of... Oh, well, Kip looks at ESPN power rankings.
Yeah, so. I thought that was kind of surprising that they would put a team that lost at home by 17 points?
Yeah.
Would be two spots ahead.
It's the same formula they
use at the same time.
In college.
You're making my point for me.
No, I like them usually. They're usually pretty spot on. Like, but I do think that the Chiefs may be the best team still.
Yeah.
Yeah, you say Chiefs, Eagles, you know, kind of mix up in there. My thing would be, so maybe the Patriots have figured some things out. I mean, you don't consider Belichick and his greatness in September. But having said that, what has changed in Atlanta? Nothing.
They have Steve Sarkisian as their offensive coordinator.
And all of a sudden, you go from, you know, Shanahan to Sarkisian, and now you've got a first-place schedule. You've got to play a little bit harder and bigger games than you have had to in the past. But, I mean, they don't throw the ball to Julio.
Yeah.
Like, how could this man be, like, 15th in targets in the NFL? How is that possible? Like, the one time they decide to throw it to him, Matt Ryan makes a bad throw, and this guy just absolutely suns him. He reaches over, grabs the ball, and they score. It's something. And you've got great running backs, a great running game. Nothing's changed except for the offensive coordinator, and now you all of a sudden don't know how to score points.
Man, there's more.
And that was his first touchdown, no less, of the whole season. That was his first touchdown.
Yeah, I don't want
the guy's an anomaly. Throw it up. And, I mean, that's what makes people think that Matt Ryan is kind of elite, even though he's not. He's very good. He's not elite. He had an elite moment last year. But part of that was because he just kept throwing the ball to Julio.
Yeah.
Why deviate from that, regardless if people know that? If they're going to double and triple Julio, then run the ball left with Coleman and those guys. I mean, why is this all of a sudden a mystery?
I agree. And I guess the only answer is that the drunk is at the wheel. So, I mean.
He's partying.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I can't talk, but at the same time, you know, like, that seems to be the difference. And at the same time, it's not like Kyle Shanahan is, like, excelling in San Francisco, but he also has an empty cupboard. So we're not really going to discredit him right now. He's kind of fucked. He's got Carlos Hyde, and that's it.
Beathard as his quarterback.
C.J.
The dude from Iowa that had, like, the big old, like, he looked like Garth. Like, he looked like Brooks and Dunn at the same time.
Yeah, this guy.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's nuts. But at the same time, so, yeah, I think that you're right. I think that there's very few pieces. Atlanta could very well be on the cusp of elite, but they just got to twerk a couple things. And I think one of them is probably the offense coordinator, or at least they lost one, so it's not a twerking or tweaking situation. Whatever.
I like how you said twerking. You slipped that one
in. Sorry. I look at the internet way too much. And when you drink a little bit, that's the word slip. But at the same time, Broncos Chiefs are Monday night. I want to touch on this because this week, Vance Jones said that Trevor Siemian is still the starting quarterback.
Yikes.
In Denver, and they haven't scored a touchdown in 2 weeks.
Boy, has he come down to earth.
Coming off a bye week, they've lost two straight, and now they're back on Monday night against what I think looks to be the best team, best running back in the league.
The Chiefs are going to fuck them up.
Like, is Pat about it. A bust, or is he hurt, or both?
Hey. I think he's a bust. I don't think it's hurt. I think he's just not good.
Who?
Paxton Lynch, the kid from Memphis.
Paxton. So, couple people in my new office are Broncos fans, and they've been talking about Paxton. They say he just sucks, just a bust. I was trying to get them all excited about Chad. I was like, oh, just wait till next year when Chad's slinging the rock. He's a little.
I really think Chad Kelly can be a good NFL quarterback. I'm not going to lie.
He's got a laser rocket arm. He can throw the ball over the mountains.
To be completely honest, I wanted the Saints to draft him, and when he got taken by the Broncos in the last round. I think we were begging to get him as a free agent, and I was pissed when the Broncos got him.
Yeah, but this is a better city for him. He needs to be getting high and not partying and getting drunk. If he tells her club, he's going to shoot it up with a gun. Dude's fucking nuts. He's a loose cannon.
I agree that he's the best quarterback on that roster, but I do think that Brock Osweiler is going to get a shot here soon. The media seems to be pretty pissed off about it out here, and now that there's two of us out here, Phil, we're going to start kind of doing a Denver-centric podcast every now and then, talking about things like D-Line Company, who is, our t-shirt maker now. So, you know, things like that, guys like that. Talk about Avalanche and shitty Rockies baseball.
My family, Denver season ticket holders, you know, I...
Exactly. Come on out, Phil. Let's be a Denver-based podcast.
Hold on. Are they currently season ticket holders?
Yeah, can we holler at them?
From we want to get games.
My family has had season tickets for the Denver Broncos. Same seats. Well, you know, hey,
I don't want to get a Broncos game.
Can your dad... Tell your dad that we hate you as much as he hates you, and if he wants to take us to the podcast, take us to the game, we could all bond over that.
I'll bring it up.
Shout out, Mr. Gray, if you're hanging out listening. What's it called? But, yeah, so come on out, Phil. Let's go ahead and make this a Denver-centric podcast. We'll start just talking random Broncos crap and just ripping on the football team.
Wait, but hold on. Did I have Nuggets?
I lived in Denver for a few years as a child during the Elway glory years when they were going to Super Bowls all the time. And obviously the drive game, that was in Cleveland. But you know, they had that other championship game against the Browns, the fumble.
Orange Crush? Is that what you're talking about?
I was at that game.
Shit, when he fumbled the ball, I've seen that 30 for 30.
Yeah, I was at that.
Typical Phil. Phil's also on the cover of Sports Illustrated when Hakeem, what's his name?
Phil, you were 3 years old when that play happened.
Okay, I'm not saying I remember it. I just know I was there.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you looked that up. Oh, I'm so glad you looked that up. Oh, that was epic. But he was there. And Phil was also on...
I love it, Phil. I love it. So we're going to get media credentialed when you get out here. But in the meantime, let's continue on.
You never answered my question.
I apologize.
Do they have Nuggets tickets?
Phil, does your family have Nuggets or Avs tickets? I know you went to this.
Yeah, Nuggets. I think my dad gave up the Avs because my dad's just like me, very fair weather.
I want to go to some Nuggets games.
Let's go. Come on.
Let's make this happen.
Yeah. Why don't you let me hang out with your dad and so that he likes us before you move out here?
Yeah. Send me his digits.
He's got great fucking seats, too.
All right. Sounds like we're writing this down on the notes section of this week. Everyone, y'all remember to give Phil shit when he doesn't get us tickets. But don't forget, when we do get tickets, we're going to live stream the shit out of this with Phil's dad.
Yeah, it'll
be great. And he's going to become a new segment. It's called Hanging Out with Phil's Dad, where we treat him better than we treat Phil.
instead of pick on him, we just like bring him shit. Like, Mr. Gray, what do you need? You need a beer? You need a popcorn cookie or something?
We're just going to be his best friend and make his life so much easier. Like, we do the opposite of yours.
He will be glad to just join in on the talking. Talking shit about me.
Yeah. All right. So we got one Gray. We just got to get the other one out here.
We got a great idea.
Well, before we dive into this Derek interview, I know we've been talking all over the place. Let's touch on some NBA. It started up since we last spoke. Everyone's played a couple games, and there's a couple things worth mentioning right now. And I want to get just some – I know we've done preseason picks for everything, but let's do first week picks. This is a surprise. Who you think's going to win it? You don't have to have any research done.
The NBA? The whole thing?
Let's just say who you got winning the NBA. You got LeBron. I know Pierce is going to go LeBron because he sucks his dick. But.
No, I got him going to the finals for sure. I mean, dude, there is no challenge to Cleveland in the East. Now that Gordon Hayward's out, like, the Celtics cannot beat them. They'll be second in the East, but they can't beat them.
That's true.
And then, I mean, the Warriors, man. As long as nobody gets hurt, nobody's beating the fucking Warriors. In seven games, there's nobody that's going to do it. Kawhi Leonard, maybe. Probably not.
The Thunder, it looks like it's definitely going to – there's not enough balls to go around, as we've known.
It can't work, man. I'm sorry. Carmelo's a black hole. I don't know how Syracuse won a national title. I guess because it was
Hakeem Warwick too.
It was not. Well, it was McNamara because of the white guy too. McNamara.
McNamara. Jerry. Yeah, Jerry was a baller. They definitely won that Big East tournament because of him.
And the national championship game, like he hit like 8 threes that game.
Yeah, he did. He did. He was a baller, no doubt about it. Q, shout out to Colin and all them Keys fans. Yep. Rory, Jared.
There we go.
What up, boys?
Shout out to our boys in the ACC. We appreciate y'all listening in. Also, don't be shy. Go rate, review, 5 stars.
5 stars only, though.
Yep, only 5 stars. We're not doing that 4 anymore.
But then you can talk a bunch of shit about us in the comments. Just be like, oh my God, I hate you motherfuckers, but give us 5 stars. Yeah. That's cool.
Meet us halfway.
Yeah.
But we have a guest here, and I don't want to keep him waiting any longer. We're loud and obnoxious, and nobody wants to really hear us talk. Derek, let's get into it. So, like you mentioned, you played ball at University of Louisiana, a.k.a. the Raging Cajuns.
Hello?
From 2002 to 2006, and while we've kind of had this conversation going, I did a little research. And like we prefaced earlier, you did play with some Pro Bowl guys as well as played against some guys that may be in the Pro Bowl as well. So I would love to get give us a little insight. I'm going to kind of ask you questions about getting laid on campus, being a football player in the Southeast and things of that nature. But as a whole, I just kind of want to hear, some fun stories. None of us are athletes. We're all just stoners on the couch.
Far from athletes.
Shut the fuck up, Phil.
Phil, I could out-athlete you.
All day. Literally, everyone can. So,
but yeah, I'm not proud of that.
I'm going to let Pierce kind of run his. He's got a couple questions he wants to ask you as well.
He beat us in golf, but that's about it.
Oh, dude, I could beat you in anything. Okay, but anyway, Derek, let's dive into it. Let's hear about your whole experience. Let's hear.
For sure. So, played at Jesuit in New Orleans, played receiver. My brother was a quarterback. That's a really cool thing.
I bet. Like the Mannings.
A quick interruption. His dad was an All-American receiver at LSU and actually was drafted by the Saints.
Oh, that's really cool, too.
Really cool deal. So we went ahead and played, and I've realized that, after my senior year, I wasn't done. I wanted to keep playing. I wanted to keep playing receiver. And I'm all a 5'10". So, receiver is not something I was getting a ton of attention for. I still was able to get to UL, and I spent a semester, my very first semester there when I redshirted, playing receiver. And it just so happens that the two guys I went against every single day for, 6 months were Ike Taylor and Charles Tillman.
That's incredible.
It's pretty unreal. Ike, he was 11-year starter under Dick LeBeau for the Steelers. And then, obviously, Peanut needs no introduction.
Yeah, Bears.
Yeah, 12 seasons with the Bears, another one with Carolina. Fantastic guy on and off the field. And crazy experience. You'd go play the big schools and, they may run for 500 yards, but they're not throwing on those guys.
What was it like in practice? Did you ever catch a ball with them on you?
Man, very rarely. I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard to even explain how fast and how strong and big they move.
They might guess wrong every once in a while and you catch one on them.
Yeah, you may squeeze one in and, Peanut wouldn't say anything, but, the next time he'd flip you on your head.
he knew it happened. I know.
The difference was for Ike, he would tell you he was going to flip you on your head, and then the next play flip you on your head. So
he talked a lot of shit,
a whole lot. Angry dude.
Ike started off as a running back too, though.
He
right?
did.
Not too, but as a running back.
Yeah. And so when we switched, Virginia Tech's offensive coordinator, while Michael Vick was the quarterback, was Ricky Bussell. Ricky Bussell ends up leaving and takes the UL job as a head coach my first year I'm there. And they move the defensive coordinator, who is Brent Pry, is now the defensive coordinator for Penn State.
Pierce's boys?
They move.
Penetration State.
Yeah, so good. He's been with James Franklin since Vandy and then went to Penn State. And so they're like, hey, you switch to corner and you could be the real deal. And he was bitter and hated him for that, but reluctantly made the move. And I'm like, I mean, geez, it only gave you how many millions you made. So, I mean,
yeah, paid off in the end. Terrible, for sure. You know?
But it was, I didn't really get to appreciate those guys until I got to see them play against the best of the best in college and the pros. And for so long, mm-hmm. and obviously, you know, cornerback, the most athletically demanding position that exists. And those guys to play over a decade each, it made it a little bit easier to swallow that I could absolutely never get open against them. And it was in those
moments. Yeah, at least you got that.
Dude, and
that's pretty cool.
I realized, okay, maybe a change of position would be good for me. And so defensive coaches came to me and said, hey, you know, you want to give it a chance to play some defense? And I said, yeah, you know, give it a shot. It was able to get me on the field as a freshman on all the special teams. So I got to run around and do that stuff, man. My very first play in college is against South Carolina. We're playing against Lou Holtz. We go out there.
I did a killer Lou Holtz impression earlier on our first interview. It was something like this, kind of like Sylvester the Cat.
Suffering second cash.
Dude, continue.
He's pretty unbelievable. So, I mean, and at the time, you could still, for kickoffs, you would still set the wedge, and you would have wedge busters. So that stuff you can't really do anymore. So
yeah.
You can remember.
So it was just like your job to run down the field and barrel through the front of that wedge. Yeah.
So that's my task. I'm like, you know, no easier way to use the walk-on kid, and he's going to go run through that. Uh-huh. And so I make my way down there. I mean, I'm just like unbelievably ecstatic. Run all the way down, split that wedge. Don't remember anything after that. hit the ground, kind of come to, and it's not until you see on the Jumbotron that you split the wedge. And so that was one of the many concussions got to experience in college. That was always good.
If you had to just give a rough guess, estimate how many concussions you had, how many would you say you think?
So here's the crazy thing. What they consider a concussion now, they would just say, you know, they'll say, oh, you kind of saw spots and you kind of came to it, you know, maybe 3 minutes later. That's not a concussion. No, that's a concussion now. So if you're counting those, I mean, easily over 30. If you're counting
those. That's fucking ridiculous. So wait, you got a concussion on your very first college play.
Very first college play. And it it's one of those things that still back then, man, a couple things working against you. One, it was a badge of honor to get what they called your bell rung, but then get back in the game. And then two, as a walk-on, dude, you come off the field, you may never go back on there. Because you got to realize, as a walk-on, you're playing in front of somebody who these coaches recruited and signed, and those position coach may sign another linebacker, and the head coach comes back to him and says, you signed this kid, but the walk-on's playing in front of him. So every available opportunity the scholarship guy gets, they're going to give it to him. And so you never want to come off the field. I mean, I can tell you stories where, you know, my junior year, playing next to a guy, and he's so unbelievably concussed that he's telling me, hey, tell me what I'm supposed to do on every play. When I tell you this was like, hey, man, it's cover three, just drop in the zone. And he's like, where's the zone? Probably something I should have stopped the game for, but at the time, you don't want your buddy to come off the field either. So, I mean, there are plays and there are moments in games that you don't remember that happened, but you didn't want to come off the field. So,
no doubt. And you couldn't get away with that anymore, could you?
Absolutely not. No. No. I mean, somebody would have heard me saying, you know, drop in the zone, it's over there.
It's over there in that area, that general vicinity.
Go that way. But at the time, it wasn't a big deal. You could still do two-a-days every day. Guys, you know, I mean, all kinds of hitting. The craziest thing is not the games. I could say I've had, you know, a few, like, really big collisions in games. It's practice. I mean, you'd be in week 11 and on Tuesdays doing full tackle drills. I mean, it wasn't uncommon for somebody to run in there, get hit, turn to the side, throw up, and then get back in. Yeah. You guys got a concussion, too. So, but you're doing whatever you can to stay out there, man. So it was definitely a wild ride. I was telling Phil, I've got a couple of cool moments.
What would you say a couple of highlight moments?
Coolest moment. Let's go with coolest moment.
Got a few. But I say the very best one was my junior year. We go to Kansas State. And I'm sure you can remember the likes of Darren Sproles.
Oh, yeah.
So we go to K-State, and, you know, Snyder's still the coach there. You know, we're out there, and we're really kind of hanging with him. Now, Darren Sproles is by far the fastest, most complete athlete I've ever participated on a field of sports with. I mean, this guy in a blur. But the crazy part was, if you guessed wrong, he could run you over, too. And so, I mean, we spent majority of the game chasing this guy down. But the story I tell people, and the longer it gets, the better football player I am. So, bear with me. 5 years from now, I was even better than I am right now.
Hell yeah.
And we went toss week. We just had a linebacker ejected for punching a ref. Yeah, that actually happened.
Fuck, how did that go down?
Dude.
What started that?
That sounds like the most riveting part.
The guy had a short fuse, to say the least, and so he was really upset that somebody came behind him and touched him, and so he turned around and swung, and then I think halfway through the punch realized, wow, I just punched the ref.
So, we talking like a Latimer from the program, the guy that was on all the roids, bashing out windows with his head.
That's actually a really good explanation of that guy.
Okay. All right.
But, Wayne. Party
we on. Get out there, man, and at one point I end up moving. I had to move to his position. So I play all three linebacker positions. I was playing the strong side for most of the game. Move me over to the weak side, and they run a toss strong, and Sproles comes around a corner, and I'm just running down the alley, and I'm not even going to stop. I'm just like, I'm going to go for – it's either going to happen or I'm not going to get anything. And, you know, lucky for me, he cut right into me, and – me and another guy right behind me, too, just absolutely unloaded. I mean, I'm talking bang, hit, you know, the chin strap buckles, the helmet comes off, ball goes up in the air. I hit the ground, and I come to it, and I see it on the ground, and I'm crawling over there, and I get on top of it, and just about everything imaginable you can think of underneath a pile takes place. That's all that stuff's true. And
man, okay, so that was one of my questions. What is going on down there when people are trying to recover a fumble?
Absolutely anything you can think of. You name it.
Like poking eyes?
Yeah, like some Romanowski shit, breaking fingers, yanking testicles?
Absolutely. I mean, I've even had my fully buckled helmet ripped completely off of me. I mean, I'm talking like some of the most insane things you think would happen or couldn't happen. No, it happens.
Oh, it happens. What are people saying? Okay, like not even on a
about
fumble.
South Chicago. It sounds like the bottom of the pile.
Yeah, just what's like some general conversation in a normal pile up, like not fighting for the ball. I imagine a bunch of shit talking
is
going.
There is, and it depends on the game. I think it depends on the situation too. But a whole lot more craziness than you would think. I mean, really, it's kind of like a controlled. Nobody sees it on TV. And nobody can really hear it. But if you wore more microphones.
But it's just nonstop shit talk.
It is. Constantly. And because, again, you're hoping to get any edge you can get. And if I can tell the receiver, if he comes over here again, that I'm decapitating him, that he may think about that right before he catches the ball. And if that's what makes the miss, then, hey, it was worth it.
You do see that every now and then, those receivers, they get a little scared. Yeah. What did that guy say to him to play before?
Especially in this day and age, it's so hard to play defense and be an enforcer and hit people.
Yeah, because they call targeting on fucking everything. What do you think about targeting?
You should pay a price for going over the middle. That's the sport of football. If you're willing to do that, then you've already assumed the risk that you could get absolutely crushed.
Well, yeah, it's like
that was like the whole point of Jerry Maguire, Rod Tidwell, man. Rod went over the middle. That's why he wanted his fucking money. Show me the money, Jerry.
Yeah, I mean, in this day and age of football, you basically have to let the guy catch the ball. I mean, how can you as a football player sit there and be like, oh, I'm gonna let him catch it. I'm not gonna hit him. I'm not gonna try to, you know, crush him. It's stupid.
And it's really hard. Yeah. I mean, football's already designed.
It's against everything they tell
you.
Football's already designed to be, you know, advantage offense. And, you know, like if you look at Danny Trevathan's hit, I'm of the adage that, okay, that guy, he was mad about something and he took it out on your boy. He didn't have to do that.
That was ridiculous.
But a lot of them, man, I'm just trying to separate you from the ball. And the fact that, like, in an instant, my crown of my helmet could either hit you in the shoulder or in your chin. And we're not talking about like much. Nobody's really out there trying to end it for anyone else, you know. And so, outside of those random, like, you know, Danny Trevathan moments, you really don't have people trying to hurt each other. Now, the offense is going to take that and run with it because they're going to get 15 yards. But nobody is really out there, you know, saying, I'm going to end this dude's career right now.
Yeah, you're right about that a lot of times, that a lot of it's on the receiver. Sometimes they move their head. How they move leads the guy to hit him that way. Like, that guy's not coming in planning on taking his head off. It just fucking happens.
Absolutely.
Now,
I think it's a bullshit rule. I hate that they kick him out of the game. I mean, I get, like, that you can't really draw a line between really serious targeting and not really targeting, but it sucks, man. Like, when you lose somebody for a half or a whole game, and then the first half of the game, that's bullshit.
Now, didn't y'all play Texas the year they won the national championship?
So, we did that, and you think that's hard enough? Think that's hard enough? Well, we played them just a handful of days after a little storm event called Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, yeah, we've heard of that.
So, as we can all, you know, probably picture in our minds right now, imagine over a third of our team from New Orleans and that area, things get turned upside down. You're back and forth trying to help family do things, and I mean, you're barely watching film, man. You don't really know what's going on. At the time, you're thinking, you know, it's complete travesty. It's just, what's going to happen? We don't really know. And our coach calls Mac Brown and says, look, would you consider rescheduling the game? All of our players still haven't been able to reach their parents yet. And they said, essentially, no. And so, you know, the power of money, you know, we had to make, you know, 650 or 700 grand that game, so...
Oh, yeah, that's paying some bills.
It's tough, man. That's what I'm saying. So we go ahead and we're like, all right, we're going to play. And I was telling Phil the other day, I said, man, I could remember the night before going to sleep, and I had a dream that I was out in the flat, and I was covering the flat, and Vince Young was rolling out, and nobody was open, so he ran. And as he ran at me, he jumped clean over me. I remember waking up just like, that can't happen. That cannot happen. And sure enough, into the first quarter, I'm in the flat. He rolls out and he's running at me. And I'm like, no way. I was like, he can run me clean over. He's not jumping over me. And sure enough, he comes right up to me and then tries to like juke outside and push him out of bounds. As I push him out of bounds, I look up. He's looking at me. He's like a foot taller than me. He just kind of gives me a patronizing pat on the head. And it was that moment I realized, although I'm going to get to play some college football, I am in no way even close to the realm of these guys that are, you know, superstar type potential. It was pretty unbelievable. We played against those guys.
That is really cool. That's like one of the best teams in college football history.
Man, they were so good top to bottom. And, we went out there.
Vince Young is one of the best college quarterbacks that didn't do goddamn thing.
I know, right?
In the NFL.
Yeah, he was
psycho. He's crazy, man. Something wasn't right in his head. I don't know what it was.
A lot of these guys think they're invincible.
I don't think he was willing to put in the work in the NFL. It probably came very easy to him in college.
Dude, Vince Young likes chili dogs more than he likes football. He wants to live off the 30 for 30 for the rest of his life. And, I mean, it doesn't help that he went to the Titians anyway. So, I mean, it is what it is. He was a totally different beast in college than he was in the pros. Like, the guy he was in the college, like, I guess you played in the same year that they played Reggie. And,
yeah.
I mean, that team was fucking filthy. And, I mean, and so Phil had debriefed us earlier that, like, you played with Peanut Tillman and you were able to play with a couple other corners.
Ike Taylor. We talked about that.
Yeah, so, you had a nice little prestigious career. You got to play against some really top-tier talent.
It was cool, man. And it was definitely one of those experiences, like, after the end of my first year, social media isn't what it is now. So they called me in. They called me in the office.
Lucky
duck. It was a very private deal, but they called me in the office. They signed me to a scholarship.
If it was today, you'd have one of those videos of them like, "We're gonna give you a full scholarship," and everybody.
Exactly, man. I'll tell you, like every time I see those, I'm like, "What? That's freaking epic." I know the story behind.
Yeah, dude, I get hair standing up on my arms when I see that shit, and I got no connection to it at all. I can only imagine with you watching it, like ready to run through a fucking brick wall.
Absolutely, dude. I still got it in me. I would be a savage for two plays. Two plays. As long as both are run plays. If I don't have to run far, I'd be so good.
I can tell you honestly.
You know, from my first year to my last year, I saw an evolution of athlete. And I can remember getting out thinking, I'm glad I'm graduating because I'm certainly not evolving to the tune that these younger kids are. And
I may be wrong. Shut up, Phil. I'm talking. I was talking and then I could hear you. I could hear Derek. I was gonna ask him about, was that like a Hudspeth change? Like, was that him coming in, the change of the guard made like these athletes seem a little bit stronger, like a little different belly of the beast? Or was this like, I know Hudspeth's name because he's always mentioned in the state rivalry, like, or the state potential head coaching position. Was that where that change of the guard happened when you were leaving? Hudspeth came in and these athletes started changing, or was this under your coach as well?
It happened a little bit before then, my junior year. So take you back. I mean, Louisiana Raging Cajun football was not known for much. By my junior year, we won a share of the Sun Belt Conference title. And at the time, there was only one bowl game to go to, which was the New Orleans Bowl. Now these guys, you know, they're bowl eligible. They'll send four teams from the Sun Belt, which you got to think, okay, you know, some of the things that we had done earlier on had paved the way for these guys now to have the opportunity, which is great. But we went a share with a team who 4 years later we find out we're using ineligible players, and they went to a bowl game they were never eligible to go to. That was a little bit unfortunate, but that's really where I saw the shift, because where some other mid-major schools really struggle, and that's the hardest place, man. You go to a big school, they got the money. You go to a small school, there's small expectations. It's the middle. It's the ones where you have an opportunity to go from, you know, one level to the next, and you're always trying to do enough to get enough prestige to earn more money, because more money means more facilities and more just everything, really.
It's an arms race, man. It's all about facilities.
It is. And if you go, and if you ever had the opportunity, and if you end up going to Lafayette, you let me know. I'll take you on a tour. But they have Power 5 facilities. Like, the weight room has quadrupled in size since I've been there. The entire training room that I used in my 4 or 5 years there is now only the size of their Whirlpool room. So their locker room is unbelievable. And so that's the stuff that matters. But, you know, their stadium, they've enclosed it, and now there's more seating. It's all updated. So being able to win and do those things have now led to more people investing in it, and that's how your program goes from one level to the next.
Absolutely.
So what's the
aspirations for them? What's the next conference?
It's interesting because, I mean, conferences are really not so much about anything other than the conference having exposure in that market. So it would do no good to an SEC I'd say for us, a good example is SEC because they already got LSU. But maybe Big 12 would want to dip into Louisiana's market. And they could do that by having a school like us. I have no idea what the future holds for conferences in general, but I can say that
I would say the American would be your best bet. Yeah, I think the Big 12 may be more of a far reach. I think, you know, I don't know necessarily like market wise as to what their shares are or what in that regard,
sure.
But it's predominantly LSU and that, you know, Texas has that market, but y'all could easily compete in not necessarily bigger conferences because you play with like the big boys, you know, like you said.
You're probably gonna beat Ole Miss in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and I mean, y'all have beaten big teams before, but I mean, y'all are easily, you know, like a La Tech or a, you know, like a, at least an American, you know, like they could play with Tulane as well as Memphis. I believe that was the I guess Tulane, huh?
That's two rivals they picked up since I would. They apparently took a really long break with Tulane. and a fairly long one with La Tech. I played against La Tech twice. I never played against Tulane, but they do play each other now. But yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think you go to that next tier, and it's not just football. Although football is the money driver, you know, across all sports, we're very competitive. I mean, baseball seems to be, you know, they were out.
That is definitely y'all's bread and butter, especially with the super regionals. Again, I mean, y'all hosted Ole Miss, albeit y'all didn't necessarily come out on top. Y'all have made a name for yourselves by beating the brakes off the ball. Slight steroid use issue, but at the same time, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
You know, you bring that up. I mean, that's 10 to 15% of every team.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to ask about. You talk about the evolution.
If it's not, you're not competitive.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up about when you were speaking of the evolution of the athlete. How rampant is steroid use? Of you know,
what you saw, you know, normally the NCAA came around once a year, and guys knew when they were coming, and so they waited. And as soon as they came, they had their way. And kind of the same thing with school drug tests too. People ended up kind of know what was going on. And I would tell you, UL did a good job toward the end of it where they maybe thought it could be a problem. They, you know, were either tell us that there were tests coming that weren't coming, or really just kind of put the fear of God in you that say that, hey, if you do this, we'd want no part of it. But you see it every year where programs maybe not even will come out and admit it, but inadvertently have turned their eye to the test. And the evolution of the supplement. So, you know, there's so many different things now that you can take, that you can cheat with, that won't even come up on a test. you know, honestly, you could get a, you know, prescription for Adderall and treat that way. And that's a big difference. That's why when, you know, Pete Carroll and the Seahawks got busted with that. I mean, that's a real deal. That's something where, you know, you can heighten focus and enhance your performance. I don't say, hey, all of a sudden everybody be the Miami O-line coach. I don't think that's a long-term, you know, solution for success, but I'm hard-pressed to say that, you know, just like in society, you know, PED and painkillers, all that stuff exists.
Yeah, and to, you know, we can kind of, I'm curious as to how exactly weed does help the human body after, you know, like you see things like CT, but that's like a whole different beast on a whole different night. We won't make anybody have to listen to our. We'll have to grab a scientist as well to talk to you about that. I don't think I'm allowed to discuss brain situations. That's a little bit out of my realm. I do want to know about. We'll talk in like 30 years, and that's when I'm going to ask you if you regret football. But at this time, you obviously don't regret football, do you?
Well, that's a good question that you ask. So I've got two sons, and they're, you know, at the end of the year, they'll be 8 and 6. And I'm in no rush to get them into contact football whatsoever. Honestly, anything they need to learn, I'm not having the guy who's an accountant and you know, I was teaching part-time how to tackle people. You know, I have nothing to prove in terms of that. And I surely don't want these kids hitting, because even when they're young, man, it's not good. I think that I could teach them the fundamentals of football, play flag football up until, you know, even high school. I really mean that. And it's not a thing about being soft or not. It's about being smart. Because,
yeah. It's turning out that all these dudes that are offing themselves are pretty fucked in the head.
They are. I mean, honestly, I was telling a friend the other day, I mean, football is boxing. It's hard to find older guys, especially defensive guys, that don't have screws loose and just, I mean, you know.
I know a lot of homeless guys on 16th Street Mall here in Denver, but I'm not sure they played football.
Okay. So check this shit out. I'm on the 16th
Their screws Street are mall. Loose.
So today I'm on the 16th Street Mall holding my phone in my hand, and this bum comes up and is like, hey, let me use your phone real quick. And I was like, fuck no. And just walked off. He was about to just take it and run. You know he was. Who was he gonna call?
That's a classic Denver greeting. Pierce is not welcome to that because he's been living in Vegas.
He looked just like Jesse Pinkman. He was tweaking on some fucking meth or something. I was not about to hand that kid my fucking cell phone.
All right, well, okay, I digress. We're not going to get into this. Derek, anyway. I want to thank you for coming on the podcast this week. The Raging Cajuns are playing the Rebs on November 11th. We'd love to have you come on the week before, talk a little shit to Pierce and to Phil. Obviously, you wouldn't talk shit to me. Nobody would want to do that. So,
let's do it again.
Yeah, I do appreciate it. And then, of course, let's go ahead and post-date that appointment to talk in about 30 years. Let's see exactly how many screws are loose.
Yeah.
The bell is rung. So I appreciate it, guys. Let's do our last segment. We wrap up. We usually do Lock of the Week, but we've gone a little long this week, so we'll just go ahead and post everyone's picks this week on the website.
I don't have one anyway.
Yeah,
I don't have one either.
That's fine. Pierce and Phil are both going to post 9. I'm going to post 5 because I'm the only one that's continuously posting, but not actually posting it.
Hey,
so,
I was a little busy last week, okay? I had to, like, move and shit.
Yep, we're thankful for it. And, gentlemen, speaking of being thankful, Phil, I appreciate you joining us this evening. I know it's a little later over there. And, Derek, I really appreciate you coming on and talking football, talking future Hall of Famers, as well as talking shit to Phil. That's one of our favorite topics. So thank y'all so much, guys.
And this was about the most credible we've sounded in all of our time. I mean,
you didn't hear our interview from earlier. Wait till you hear that.
Oh, yeah. And don't forget to look to the website, as well as a later posted podcast article or not podcast, but interview. Look to the website for that with Jim Shute of Old Hottie Toddy. He's Pierce and I interviewed him about the Leo Lewis Ole Miss Mississippi State rivalry that seems to be going on with the NCAA. And but anyways,
it's interesting. Yeah, check it out.
It will be. But guys, I appreciate y'all coming on. I hope everyone has a fantastic week. And then don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review 5 stars.
Peace.
Who dat?
Hill State Boys.